You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Why are the Jets persisting with Joe Flacco?
What's going on with that?
Just why? Like, Mike White, at the very least, had the moment. The moment that you want out of the backup. Joe Flacco, never giving you that moment. He's just going to give you 17 for 27 for 170 yards, a touchdown late, that won't matter, and an interception, and you're just going to die a slow death. Why? Mike, he's 38.
Mike White has shown us in the last decade what he's capable of. Like, you know, best case scenario, what Mike White might look like.
It's 400 yards and three touchdowns.
Oh,
just
but
try
this
and
is,
maybe get no, that.
No, but this is the thing. This is why they're so reluctant with Trey Lance. These guys value, covet a quarterback who isn't going to burden them or saddle them with disaster plays. Didn't Mike White go from the 450-yard game to four or five interceptions? Because that's how
he got benched for Josh Johnson.
But isn't that how it gets undressed? Because you become a turnover machine because people figure out in a couple of games that you're not actually that good.
I'm not arguing that Mike White is good. I just have seen Mike White be good recently. I have not seen Joe Flacco be good in three teams.
But you've seen Joe Flacco not turn the ball over an enormous amount. And these guys who are fighting for their jobs and don't have a lot of job security sometimes go for the veteran guy who's leader guy, who's not going to turn the ball over, who maybe I can trust.
Right. It's the trust thing. It's the, when I call a play, I know that it's specifically going to that person and I can predict their behavior. Whereas a younger quarterback who might not understand the game. Also, it seems like Robert Saleh, the coach of the Jets, we were talking yesterday about how being aggressive and going for it on fourth down or going for a 2-point late is some act of heroism. Robert Saleh is here to maintain old school football because he will not, like the Jets fans, it's been a year and a game and they're already like, stop punting on the plus side of the field. It's enough.
And he evaded look at me Louis charges yesterday as well. We should have definitely had his ass on the look at me Louis for running stadium stairs before the game.
Brandon Staley did that too.
He does do that, Saleh. That's he does it before every game.
Yeah. I don't care. Okay. It's look at me Louis
for a long time.
That is very look at me Louis behavior.
Look at me Louis.
Lifetime achievement Louis.
I did not have us beginning today's local hour. Greg Cody will be in here in a few minutes. I did not have it with Jets talk. And Cooper, are you guys
Cooper Rush?
Like, what are you guys doing with Cooper Rush?
Well, do you want to buy my tickets to Bengals Cowboys? Because I'm not feeling good about this. This was supposed to be AFC champs versus NFC hopefuls, and now it's just 0-1 with four interceptions and Cooper Rush.
Should be Cooper Pass. Chris gave me that joke.
That was a quick buck passing right there.
I thought it was a good one.
Thank you, Billy.
You gave up Chris before we got to the loser game show
sound. The laugh sound might have been coming.
As far as you being interrogated, you gave up the goods before we'd gotten the silence of the joke. We were sitting out the silence of the joke to see if it would land as a loser game show or as a Hakeem Nicks laugh. And as we waited, knowing, frankly, and you knew it too, as fast as the rest of us, knowing that the joke was no good, and you didn't even let us get to the joke before you threw Chris under the bus.
Dano, sometimes you travel and before the ref can even blow the whistle, you just throw it to him because you know what you do.
It's a good joke though, because he's a quarterback. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Don't take jokes from Chris Cody in your ear. The life lesson, as always, be careful there.
If I had a nickel for every time I took a Chris Cody joke to
I'll
air.
Defend the merits of that joke. That was a good joke.
Thank you.
It was Rush. Pass. Yeah. He's a quarterback.
Yeah.
And then the second layer is pass like, nah, I'm good. More like Cooper Pass.
Yeah.
You good get joke. It? Also, Stugatz would have persisted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stugatz would have kept going. I mean, like, oh, that's a good joke. What do you mean?
You just got to own it.
Got to own
it. It's your joke.
It's your joke now.
I like the what Amin's doing because, like, last week I fed him, I think on Thursday, was it? Like five or six in a row that, like, were very dicey, and he punted on all of them.
Well, let's go ahead and take people behind the scenes here inside the Actors Studio before we get to today's local hour and Greg Cody. And I do want to hear about Mike Ryan as we all get older, going to the game, the UM game with his father, and what that tailgate was like, because Mike Ryan has been ripping his father, and he loves his father, but he hates his father. He's been ripping his father for years in this platform. in a way that's totally unfair.
This is all fair. This is all fair. I do love my father, but I don't get along with my father. I have very few things in common with my father, but I am thankful that he exists.
Thankful he exists.
Hey, it's for something.
The highest compliment.
Can't say it about my mom.
Thankful he exists is the that I think the compliment as you try and get this Grammy award winning nomination for your musical, and we have trouble getting it off the ground a second time. Isn't that the language that we have used around the musical?
Yes. Yeah. No. That's pretty much it. Nail on the head. What? My mom's dead.
I know. That's what made it so exists. Incredible.
That was an extraordinary dead fish.
We have a dead fish and a dead mom.
My God.
Jesus.
We do have both of those things.
I couldn't throw my mom. She was very heavy.
Oh, my God.
What? You guys are making
guys,
this
it's
far
his
more
mom.
Awkward. It's my mom.
Yeah, he can say it.
Well, she's not safe anymore. She died a long time ago. Because
it's his mom.
Yeah, go ahead and say something. It's your dog. It's okay.
Before we get to you going to that game, though, can you guys tell me? Because Amin sits in that chair. And Amin is playing ostensibly the role of Stu Gatz, who continues to miss shows, continues to make excuses for why he's missing shows, many of them dead shows. He's wandering the earth, and we can't really corral or control him. We try to.
At me when he said dead shows?
I felt uncomfortable again.
Messed up.
Just
really
too
messed
soon.
Up.
The number of jokes that Billy has tried to put in his ear and Amin has not been receptive to them or have rejected them because Billy is actively trying to get everyone in the company fired.
That's right. That's right.
No.
Billy does a separate show in the ear of this seat, and it is a hilarious
show. It's a great show. God, I'd love to hear that show.
Y'all ain't ready for that show. Y'all ain't ready for that show.
I'd love that show. The show that Billy does in the ears of Stu Gatz, and I mean, but Stu Gatz repeats it all. What's your hit rate with
Stu
Gatz?
He's like Ron Burgundy.
No, I've gotten a lot of stoplights lately with him. He's been very
cautious. He does the thing where he points back at you, Stu Gatz. If you feed him something and he doesn't want to do it, he'll be like, that's good. No, you do that.
But think about how across the line the joke has to be for Stu Gatz, who repeats everything, to say, no, you take that.
Sometimes
one.
Sometimes he just doesn't get it. It'll go over his head.
Yeah.
I'm playing
funny
charades, explaining the joke
one
to him.
What I've noticed, look, I mean, I don't think I'm speaking out of tune here when I say that Stu Gatz has been disoriented by the last 2 years of everything, including the loss of his mother, as we joke, as Mike sits there and makes jokes that are inappropriate about his own mother that he was planting in Stu Gatz's head.
I just said that, well, I didn't mention that she was heavy, but.
The Stu Gatz joke of his my mom died.
Factor.
No, you got off 98% of my mom died jokes that came out of Stu Gatz's mouth, came from your mouth to his ears. 98 to 99% of those that's how Stu Gatz grieved his mother, with you making jokes on the air the entire time.
Two dead moms cutting it up.
Who fed you that one?
Mike, you were saying about you've been a disaster this week. You're replacing Stu Gatz and you're being every bit as awful as
still
he can be.
Still caffeinated from yesterday.
No, did you have more coffee this morning? Or you're still running on this is still
he
yesterday?
Said he'd never have coffee again yesterday.
This is still in my system.
Look, he's still wearing the same clothes. All right, let's break the fourth wall.
No, don't you dare.
Our YouTube audience deserves it.
Yeah, no, they
Mike was doing
it. You're clearly wearing the same shirt as yesterday.
I don't shower much.
I explained that.
We all are.
But we all are. And there isn't a reason for that.
It's not just him.
We change before the Tuesday show. We always like to do a segment when we come in on Tuesday mornings in the previous day's clothes, just to feel connected to the previous day's show in some way, and then we do a quick wardrobe change. Yeah. So all the YouTubers that think they're all smart leaving comments on our videos saying, you guys are lying. This was taped previously. That's the same shirt from Monday. I'm telling you, we like to keep the same clothes, keep you on your toes.
And every Friday, we bring different versions of the clothes that we worn all week long, and then we'll mix and match.
It's annoying to have to. It is so annoying to have to always be vigilant against whatever criticism a YouTube commenter is going to have, because that you guys better be there doing every second of the thing right there when I'm watching, and you guys don't think we're putting the actual work in to change our clothes and stay in our clothes because we're working so much to deliver the content.
Wardrobe change. We're like the Oscars here. You come out in a tuxedo, then you come out wearing a dress, then you come out wearing something different.
People like to think that this whole banking thing is lazy, right? It's July 23rd. and we're taping September 12th show.
Your father
yeah.
went to a tailgate with
Two
you.
2 years from now, he goes to a tailgate with me. So I don't like hanging out with my dad.
To it's a not, Mark Richt game?
Yeah.
You're number one in the country going into Pitt.
Yeah. It wasn't that long ago, folks. See?
The U is back.
We are back. Paul Feinbaum was just dancing on the Sports Center with a chain. How great is that turnover chain?
That's never going anywhere.
Never going anywhere. It's going
to
be here forever.
You know what I love? That no other school has something like that. It's very unique to just Miami.
Super.
This quarterback called Kenny Pickett's going to start this game. He'll still be the starter in 6 years from now.
This is so confusing.
This is the show I wanted to do, Chris, all along.
Well, you've got terrible judgment. Machine. You've got terrible judgment, and you've been fouling up the show for 2 days because you want to do a time machine sports show. But you also, and Mike, before we get into your father and the tailgate.
Hell yeah.
You've got Amin still clinging. He's trying to do performance art beyond the performance art. He and Zach Harper still claiming that bothering Mike Schur recently with a show that they did that Mike Schur couldn't understand how great and nuanced and layered they are because their comedy is so deep that they just tried to bother him and the audience, and he thought it was high art.
Wait, what happened 2 years from now?
You're wearing a Hall & Oates shirt.
Wait.
I would have thought it was the Roots.
Am I to understand that 2 years from now, Aubrey Plaza will have a moment?
She's having a moment. Many are saying that.
And Zach will watch two movies of hers on the same night. One in the theater, one at home.
Allison just said that to me.
So I took my dad to a UM tailgate. And as you know, I love my dad. Don't necessarily get along with him. And he's been on me for a couple of years about taking him to a UM game. I don't want to take my dad to a UM game.
Obvious man. By it taking a couple of years for it to happen.
Man, 2 years ago, I was really stuffed up.
2 years away from being 2 years away.
So I don't want to take him to Miami Hurricanes games because that's my happy place.
You gave him Southern Miss.
Well, yeah, that's what the one I was going to be.
Here you go, Dad.
So as a Golden Cane, I wouldn't even give him Southern Miss last year. But he's been on me for quite a while. So I'm like, all right, I finally have to take him to go to the game, but I'll take him and Juliet. I have, in exchange for my charitable donation to the University of Miami, I get 4 seats to the game, and I bring it's like a rotating list of 2 people. So I finally, the day comes where I have to take my dad, decide on a noon game because that minimizes my window of actually having to hang out with him.
He's thrilled to be invited to a tailgate.
He shows up to my house. He's wearing 4 layers of clothing.
Impeccable, but impeccably groomed. Smells like cologne.
Impeccably groomed is interesting.
Button down?
No, he shows up in like one of those boat shirts.
What's a boat shirt?
Yeah. A boat shirt to avoid like sun damage. It's like very thin. It's like moisture wicking.
Yeah,
and,
got it.
And a very generic Miami Hurricanes t-shirt over it. Very generic, no brand on it, just has Miami Hurricanes.
Nice.
So I notice when he walks in, I'm like, why is that undershirt super wrinkled? Dad, you're going to be really hot. He's like, no, but this is meant for the sun. I'm like, just wear the t-shirt. He's like, no, I bleed everywhere. If his skin is getting very thin.
Wow.
And he's like, if he bumps up against a bookshelf, he'll start bleeding from his arms. So he needs some layer of protection.
Mike,
like,
you sound like so, the lack of empathy as you talk about your father.
He's got an interesting relationship with his father.
So I steam that shirt, and my dad's just wandering shirtless throughout my house as I'm doing this. Doesn't want to actually put on his other shirt, whatever. It's weird. So then I start asking him about the shirt. I'm like, you know, I could have just given you a Miami Hurricane shirt, giving you something that was like maybe Adidas, maybe some of the old Nike stuff, something that would make you look a little bit more swaggy. I'm like, where'd you get this? He's like, well, I went to Macy's and they didn't have any Miami Hurricanes. I'm like, you went to Macy's?
Yeah.
You went to Macy's?
They do have a Fanatics corner now at Macy's.
But that's not like you go to a Dick's, you go to an athletic store.
He's trying, though. He's trying.
So then he goes,
adorable effort by your dad.
He goes, I go to Target and they don't have it. I was, number one, surprised that they didn't have one.
Sold
at
out.
Target.
Usually they're sold out at this point.
They rearranged some of the Targets. It's hard to find things now. We can get into that tomorrow.
So they don't have Hurricane stuff at Target. So you know what his third option is?
The guy outside with the table.
He goes to Publix.
I like that. What?
He goes to Publix and he buys his Miami Hurricane shirt at Publix.
That's great.
For shopping,
just,
is a pleasure.
He was just trying to find a shirt anywhere.
Yeah, he went to 3 stops.
Not, so great.
Somebody would just order something off the internet knowing that they have to go. No, he got into his car, drove to three different places. Third place was a supermarket.
But this is like, you're saying this in the context of like, this is a bad thing. This is an adorable effort by him.
It is cute so far. I haven't even gotten to the embarrassing part. I question him. I'm like, Dad, you're wearing a Publix Miami Hurricane
shirt.
It's
mockworthy. Most dads would do this. This is something my dad would do. And then we jokingly mock him.
But this is trying to connect with his son. Yeah. And upon arriving at his son's doorstep, his son thinks his dad is lame.
Yeah. I'm like, why didn't you go to Walmart? Why didn't you go to Walmart or anything like that? He's like, oh, I wouldn't step foot in a Walmart. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, no. Walmart makes me feel cheap. I'm like, Dad, you're literally wearing a T-shirt you bought at a supermarket.
Publix.
Yeah, so he's like, I'm not a Winn-Dixie guy. He's in that shopping center. I'm not a Walmart guy. I'm
Publix,
a Target.
Greater Publix. Than Walmart.
Publix is more expensive. Yeah.
So okay. My dad in a supermarket T-shirt hop in my car, and we go over there with Julian. It's very hot, and my wife, my daughter, and my dad are walking to meet some friends.
He's
over
not
at the
bleeding
tailgate.
Anywhere yet.
Not bleeding. Hasn't. You'll be happy to know my dad did not bleed this entire day.
Wow.
So
big W.
My dad is very confused because he's never really gone to a tailgate. He doesn't know what Miami tailgates are.
What time is it?
This is around 10:15 a.m.
And you guys are there.
We're there. We're at the tailgate. A lot is going on. The tailgates are back. It's great to see. There's a rocking party. My dad is walking in between all the cars, and my dad trips. Oh, no. My dad trips over a cornhole board.
Wow.
Just didn't see that? That seems like an odd thing. That seemed like an odd thing to trip over. Like, that's the most obvious thing that would be on the ground. Big.
My dad then starts yelling at the other folks that brought the corn. He's like, why is this in the middle of the street?
No.
He's like, what a rookie move. He's like, why are you here? Get out of the way. This is where people walk.
Mike.
I see this stuff happening. My wife calls me over and I turn. I'm holding my daughter. I'm running back. I put everything together. I'm like, I'm sorry. And the guys go, Mike, tell your dad to calm down.
What?
I'm like, what?
They recognize you, and now your dad is headed into a Miami fight.
They didn't tell my dad to calm down. They're like, yo, Mike, tell your dad what's up. Because my dad was like complaining at them. They recognize me. Yeah. If it wasn't
really
me there, like,
he would have gotten
my
his
dad
ass kicked.
Might have gotten his ass kicked. He doesn't know that you have to have your head on a swivel, and that cornhole is the same thing as people tossing the pigskin out there.
Did you know this was his first time at a tailgate? Prior to getting there, did you know this was his first time?
Well, I mean,
you knew.
It doesn't. You're implying he should have said, "Hey, look out for the cornhole ball.
Look out for things. There's going to be footballs flying."
I'm with Mike on this. I don't think you need to give your dad like that basic. People are going to be having fun like that. Like,
my wife was apologizing to the group, and they're like, "No, it's all right. It's okay. We listen to the show. We know how his dad is."
Oh wow! That's funny.
How much more did he embarrass you? That's pretty bad. But that and holding a baby. Well, the thing that I'm siding with is knowing what it's like to be perpetually embarrassed by your father.
We had to walk back, and there was still like a little tension because he didn't understand why we were still apologizing. He thought that they were in the wrong. We walked back and we're like, sorry again. And they're like, it's all right, Mike.
But it's a great viewpoint.
And my dad just kept being like, why are you guys apologizing? You already apologized once.
The proud man.
I mean, there's a lot of machismo at Miami tailgates, and there's a lot of cause for...
Impossible.
There's a lot of fights. Most of the fights are just us beating each other up. Your cars will explode. We'll fight each other, and we won't actually go into the stadium.
Don't make it in. Sometimes the tailgate is so good that you don't make it in, and it's hot in there, and you're just enjoying your drinks.
Or they just don't have tickets. Like, it's just, it is what it is. You can actually just buy tickets to be in the parking lot nowadays. Yeah, most people actually like that party, and it's actually kind of cute. Like, everyone's watching the games on their TVs, never actually going inside. Even though we could actually use you guys inside because the University of Miami actually committed resources to the program, therefore your excuses are gone.
Why would you do that when it's so hot? Like, why would you go just to tailgate and sit outside in the heat?
Because then you don't have to deal with the pesky rules of inside the stadium. Oh, can't say this, can't know that.
Have you seen the tech? I'm worried about this because I probably shouldn't even say this, but there's a Texas A&M Police Department Twitter account that tweets like everything that's going on in there, and there's a whole bunch of narcs on Twitter that are like, hey, this guy's vaping in our section, and they're just tweeting and replying like, where are they at? Call us. Give us more details.
Is that like that unruly fan thing? Like, text to 303-375, unruly fans in your section.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Relax.
I don't like it at all. I'm setting myself up. Like, this is not a
great. People are going to recognize you when you go to Texas A&M. You are now a proud UM alum. You've put your face.
I'm not an alum, unfortunately. I wish I was, but I am a Miami-Dade alum.
My bad.
Booster was the word you were looking for.
Booster is what I should have said.
Very proud Booster. I'm very proud of the work that I'm doing with the university, and it's my passion right now. It's what I'm doing with my free time. And maybe I'll be recognizable. Maybe I won't be. The oversized cowboy hat might draw attention. I opted for green this year because orange was too look at me.
You've got to go in.
And also, we're on the road wearing,
why would you not go in to? I think you need to go into Texas A&M as the character, look at me, Luis.
You know me, Luis.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Why do you carry around $2,000 unless you're paying off a referee or something?
Whoa!
What happened?
What happened?
What happened then?
I didn't imply that. Doc Rivers is like a saint. One of the great coaches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Stugatz.
Put on the poll, Guillermo. First of all, is Greg Cody as a journalist spectacularly reckless? Put that on a poll first. And then secondarily, put on the poll as well, is Doc Rivers paying referees?
I never said he was.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Dan seems to enjoy this cosplay thing, huh?
He does, man. Like, he makes a big fuss about it, but, like, there's a little bit of joy in that.
I think Valerie likes doing it to him. He likes getting it. There's something going on there.
Relax. Relájate, mijo.
Can
you feel the tension?
He's allowed to enjoy something that he's doing with Valerie. Gets her involved in the show. She does a great job. And let me tell you, we could use that kind of energy around the grid of death because nobody's excited about it.
No, if it wasn't for Dan and Valerie doing it, we would be way worse.
Is there anywhere where the punishments are listed? Because, like, I want to get this shit out of the way as soon as possible.
Seriously, me too.
We had a creative meeting about this, and we have a Google Doc, but we've been told that some of our ideas were a bit unfeasible.
Can we get the unfeasible ones out in a separate doc and just give us the feasible ones up front?
Well, Billy and I were working on this yesterday, so we're gonna get together after the show today and try and see if we can call this one down a little bit.
So I would like to, for the record, because I know there's been a lot of backlash and anger towards this segment and the not paying off. So we had a meeting yesterday where we're like, we need to implement deadlines this year, because the problem is, when we first started doing this, like, four people were picking, right? And we'd get, like, two losses a week. So it was, you know, doable.
Manageable.
Now there's 80 people picking every week. So we have 7 to 8 losses a week. And then it becomes a thing of, well, when are these going to get paid off? So that's why we have this backlog. And then we had a conversation with people in management where we're like, we need to implement a deadline this year so these things get done. And then the outstanding ones, we'll just kind of sprinkle in so that this thing gets moving, we get back on track. And then the question came, well, who's paying for all these costumes? And I said, I don't know. And then it became a thing of, well, we need to figure out how these are going to get paid for. And I'm like, okay, so we did our part.
Might I make a suggestion? Let's go back to Rocky III. Let's go back. You know how Rocky III, he loses, and Apollo's like, man, you surrounded yourself with all these material things and all, like, fancy stuff. You need to go back to the dirt. Go back to that little sweaty gym.
Yes.
And do it the way we did it in the beginning when we had nothing, right? And he trains in the nothing and then comes back and he beats Clubber Lang. You guys have these fancy costumes. Let's go back to the basics. Pig's feet.
Exactly.
Tripe.
Well, that led to more problems with management.
No, the eating stuff did not fly.
We got a no on that. Okay, no more eating.
Give me a jar of mayonnaise. Let me stick my fist in it.
That's very simple. I don't know why.
Exactly. That's Amin's point.
That's my point. Yeah. We got to go away from all these elaborate.
We had the onion and we had the tripe. And we just, there's just too much can go wrong if you're ingesting something.
We also had a meeting last year with the big man who said more costumes. We need more costumes.
That's
so that's where we got the costume edict, and now we're doing the costumes, and then it becomes a question of, well, who's paying for the costumes? And it's like, NMP, I'm just here to sell the segment.
I would throw that back. I said, hey, that's what the big man wanted. Also, I came this close to do my limited big man, which I've never done on air, I don't believe, and I don't think I'll start today.
Which one's the big man?
You know who the big man is. Come on.
Well, no, I don't. Out of the co-founders?
I see your dilemma.
Especially with the context of knowing how much Valerie likes the costumes. I'm like, which one's big man? I thought I knew which one big man was. Huge Chuggy League ramifications last night in the Survivor pool.
Let me do my victory lap for everyone who was listening last Thursday, I believe. And then again yesterday, I told you guys, Seahawks plus 6.5.
Oh, don't talk, you coward. You're not in the Chuggy League.
It's such a Stugatz move to make a random upset prediction and then take a victory lap, the one that lands. You probably have done this with 12 other games.
You didn't have the guts to join the Survivor pool.
I didn't know what the Survivor pool was, to be honest with you.
You don't know what a Survivor pool is?
I don't know what a Survivor pool is. Well, I know it now. Now I understand the concept because you guys are sending videos.
You didn't want to ask?
I just figured it was just another dump. I don't do fantasy.
Living my life.
Yeah, I just waltzed it off with your drugs. I know there has been a discussion about a loser's bracket. Might I inject my contribution?
There is one lone strong opposition against Chuggy League season 2.
Well, let's let that source be anonymous, but what is their main argument?
Well, my argument is
he's a co-op.
So to clarify, Mike started a Survivor pool. There were 58 entries.
Oh!
And we've already lost 37? Yeah.
An NFL angel descended from heaven and told 58 people, some of them the brightest minds in all of NFL media, and said, just pick a winner. And 37 of them could not do it.
I hear that.
21 remain out of 58. One person named Bimmel did not make a pick whatsoever. Still owes to Chuggy.
Interesting tactic,
by the way.
Cotton, let's see how it works.
Bold strategy.
He somehow still did better than I did.
He didn't pick a loser. Like me, by the way. I had the Colts, but Chug out. So 21 teams remain, and now everybody had a lot of fun. This is their first time in a Chuggy Super League. It was a wild week one. So many people are out. Yeah. People are
buybacking it.
People want a season 2. Double Chuggy or nothing.
You in, Amin?
I think I want to be in.
But Witty doesn't want a second.
I'm not having
league.
It.
He wants a spotlight
it.
To himself.
Don't you want more
doesn't
money in there?
Affect him. No, it's a different pool.
He's saying let's create a whole separate pool for
all
everyone that's lost in week one. And here's what I'm saying. A survivor pool, for me, connotes, if you're out, you're out. You've got to swim in it. For a minimum of 5 weeks, I'd say. Five weeks until you're allowed to get back. You've got to wallow.
Unless you
in
lose.
The shame
unless,
of picking it. No,
unless you
no,
lose next
I,
week.
I promise. I promise that if I lose in week 2, will not be participating until week 8.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I'm out.
You just went back 3 more weeks.
Self-embargo?
Yeah, it's a self-embargo. For me, it's the punishment.
Why are you doing that? Why so arbitrary? Why week 8? Why 5 weeks? Why? Let's just do it again.
You
don't
start glowing. Yeah, you survived week 1. You're big.
Yeah. I picked against Joe Flacco.
Wow, oh my God,
I picked
so
against
smart.
Joe Flacco. I'm really smart.
Oh, he's such a bright mind.
Luminary.
Everybody knows everything now, huh? Yeah. Why didn't you pick
Double
against
chug.
Joe Flacco, you idiot?
Yeah.
Why didn't you pick against Joe Flacco, you idiot?
I mean, I didn't want to pick
That's
the
a good question.
I didn't want to pick the Titans because I thought they might lose. I didn't want to pick the Broncos because I thought they might lose. I wanted to pick the Colts because I thought they wouldn't lose. I was right.
I didn't bet against the Jets, honestly, because I think I heard Tony say last week that the Patriots had the worst roster in that division.
I mean, you could take the Dolphins.
That just implies that the Jets are a little better than they were.
It's week one. You don't know how Lamar is just going to come after the injury. You want to save the Ravens, too. Your strategy for the remainder of the Chuggy Super League totally changes with only 21 teams left. You don't have to be as conservative in picking teams and saving them.
That's the interesting part to me, because as I was learning the rules before the show today, the idea that if you pick a team, that means you can't pick them for the rest of the season. So, like, while picking against the Jets seems pretty smart, you don't want to blow your wad, so to speak, on the Ravens on a gimme right here where you might need the Ravens to win a big one later.
But as we learned, you can't play that game. Just survive in advance.
But I thought So many people thought they were.
They try to outthink themselves.
Dude, I haven't seen a week like this in college and pro football maybe in my lifetime. It sounds super hyperbolic because it's week one and week two, but I'm telling you, this shit does not happen.
I think three of the top five favorite, like the biggest favorites, I think three of them lost. Usually you'll get one of the top favorites losing.
And you had three Sun Belt teams win on the road at Power Five. It just flatly does not happen.
Has anyone done the homework about like the lines, how many upsets there were this week, a percentage of games that were upsets?
But also, I mean, it's not just that it was underdogs. It was 7 and 8 point underdogs. Yeah. I looked at the power rankings last night to see how like the bottom teams did against the spread. I pulled up CBS's power rankings. Teams 26 drew, 28 won, 30 won, 31 won. So like you start the season by saying I'm going to pick it, and really 32 should have the Falcons. The Falcons should have absolutely beaten the Saints. I imagine there are probably a few people. I imagine there are a few people that picked the Saints in our Chuggy League. But all the like for me, the Survivor Pool is very much an opponent based game where you're picking really against teams more than four teams.
Right.
And if you tried that strategy in week one, it really didn't work for you.
Well, the strategy
unless it's against Joe Flacco.
You also want to save teams because you think, I'm really good at this. Yeah. I can pick a winner, just a single winner. Why waste the Chiefs right now? I want them for later in the year when there's only tough games available and I want the better teams. I'm an idiot. I chugged.
I do want to bring in Greg Cody from the Miami Herald here because I want to know what your picks were like. Was this a Charles Bricker type week for you, or did you save some dignity?
No, nothing is a Charles Bricker type week. I went 6-9-1 straight up. Nice. Yes, I lost 9 games just picking winners. In my defense, there were 8 straight up betting line upsets.
In my defense, I was wrong, and everyone else was too.
I you know what? And the other thing in my defense, and I almost got it right, I picked Detroit to beat Philly. Which almost happened.
What? Wait, what? You can't say almost happened.
Well,
they almost beat them.
The only almost is the Colts.
Okay, I have to pick an upset every week. I usually try to pick 3 straight up. I have to.
You say that like it's a burden. Everybody picks an upset. Like, it's not that crazy to say I picked up one upset.
Okay, I pick at least 3.
That was a good live dog, though. That was a good live dog. They covered.
They covered.
They were down by 17 entering the fourth quarter. That's not really an almost.
ATS, your underdog of the week, won.
Okay, not as successful with my Rams over Bills pick. Got to say that. Not quite as successful on that one.
But that's actually a smart one when you're just trying to win the Super Bowl champions 2-point home underdog.
I thought so.
Primetime game. Yeah,
I thought so, too. I thought so, too.
Let me ask you guys a question. When you pick a team to win, and then they end up not winning, would you rather they get blown out, like it wasn't even close, or would you rather that small, almost doesn't count type of loss?
I'll remember that Rodrigo Blankenship miss for as long as I live. And I like watching a game that intently. My wife was still alive last night. She had the Broncos. I was rooting for her, and I was watching that game so intensely. And I'm going to remember that disastrous game from Nathaniel Hackett forever. I like losing the heartbreaker because I just take in every moment. A blowout, you forget those. Blankenship is forever.
I don't know, man. Not from a betting standpoint, but I remember like the loss that sticks with me more than any sporting event ever, including games that like when I worked for the Suns in the front office and playoff games and stuff. The loss that haunts me to this day is Brazil-Germany from the World Cup.
7-0?
I think they scored.
7. Oh,
well, I remember that. I was on a cruise ship.
The only time I've ever cried after a sporting event.
Really?
I wept.
Really?
Because it was
I know you wear the Brazil shirt. Oh, I didn't realize that it mattered to you like that.
It's like you explain like the Brazilian because you're not Brazilian.
Yes, because Sudan doesn't really have a program worth speaking about. So when you're growing up in Sudan, and like you adopt with like you have like one of three options: either like Brazil, you like Argentina if you're an asshole, or you like
here.
Or then these weird ones are like England. I'm like, that's kind of creepy. Like, just cut those colonial ties, boys. But so you grow up, Brazil is everything, and all the best players come from Brazil. And like, this is just how it is. So Brazil, World Cup in Brazil, like, oh, this is, and it was a great team, a great squad. And then you go into that semifinal, and at the time, a European team had never won the World Cup outside of Europe. And that was my whole thing, like, these assholes, man. They don't travel. That's why, da-da-da. And to lose that bad at home, it blew my mind. I could have never, I could imagine a loss. Seven? They put seven on them?
You were like 33 when that happened.
Yeah, man, I cried. I cried.
All right, man.
Kudos
to you for caring that much.
That's the only time I've ever
People
cared.
People call us losers.
Dog.
And you know what? They're right. But let us have it.
Because it was like 3-0 in the first like 10 minutes.
It was unbelievable. Like, I was there. Yeah.
And you were Brazil, on a cruise ship.
Brazil fans are like Yankee
fans. You
were
there?
I was. Well, no. I was on a cruise ship watching it. Where there were a lot of Brazil fans.
Not there mentally. You were there mentally, I think.
Wait, did you opposite of being there.
No.
What just happened?
I felt like I was there because I was on the open sea. Okay, so I was like between continents.
I
don't understand.
That was the day my youngest son was arrested on a cruise ship for stealing
was
a mascot.
You say arrested. This is actually a great story. Me, my dad, and my friend are watching a World Cup final. I think it's Germany, whatever.
Brazil.
Argentina. And we're watching it, and there's a lot of people around. And all of a sudden, over the speaker, we hear, Michael Cody, please report to security. And me and my friend, look, my dad he's watching the game, so he doesn't hear this note. And me and my brother and my friend look at each other like, what? So me and my brother like back away quietly from my dad. My dad's still sitting there watching the game, has no idea this happened.
Simpson into the front.
I was engrossed.
my brother got into the drink package the night before and got so drunk, he like made friends. So like me and my wife had gone to bed, and like my brother got into some like props closet and ends up walking around one of these like mascot heads like that they put like I think oh it was like God. The guy one of I don't know some mascot
what are you in for
and my brother's walking at like 2 a.m there's like I saw video footage of my brother walking around the promenade with just a mascot head on.
Might have been a chipmunk,
dude. They brought him in and they literally like put him in a room and they were like, hey, we will kick you off every cruise you ever like if you wow. like it was basically they let him off with like they essentially were like, if you ever do anything like this again, you are never going on a cruise. Like, we're gonna call the cops, get you off this boat, and you're never cruising
Walk
again.
The plane.
See, this is
two. It was a two Americas kind of thing.
But also, yeah, I would love if I were your brother. Honestly, I would go on a cruise the next week and do it again just to be the only guy to have done it twice.
I believe our next cruise, they hit him like the first day with just a, hey, you're on our, like, I just want you to know, we're just reaching out to you to say, we know that this happened.
Was it the same cruise liner?
Yes, same cruise liner.
I wonder if the other cruise liners share intel.
Chris, had your brother told you about this? Or do you find out together as you're walking to the security booth?
I think he told me on the walk to security. I think when the security announcement happened, he hadn't told me. And as we were walking, he's like, I think this might be it. Like, I remember I didn't go in with him. I had to like wait out. And he came out. He's like, yeah, they told me.
Comes out with a black tear on his face.
Did he practice his CCH Pounder impression? One of the areas you got us running for the DA. God damn it, Dutch.
Dad, you were not at the game.
I was watching the game on a cruise ship is all I said.
I almost hit you with a look at me, Louie, and then we asked a follow-up.
Your spirit wasn't even there, Greg.
I was so engrossed that I didn't hear my son being
arrested
for mascot theft.
So, okay, so you're watching the game. There are a bunch of Brazilians on the cruise.
Oh, yeah. And they were looking for holes to crawl into.
Man.
I loved it. I loved it. And the Germans were going crazy. But they were outnumbered 10-1.
I will never. I think it was there was a period in that game where I think it was between minute like 23 and 31. Germany hit for four goals.
Yeah.
It was unlike anything. It was a group of professional soccer players that looked like they've never played the sport before.
It was because when 1-0, 2-0, like, okay, I have plenty of time to play that. 3-0, like, oh, shit. Like, and then it was like 4-0.
It was 5.
I think that's when I started crying.
And they had several other chances to score. It could have been 8 or 9 nil by halftime.
Oh, it's like the Yankees losing a World Series game 24-0 or something.
Yeah, the other bit of context, absurd, too, Amin, was that Neymar had just broken his back in the previous game. And so this was like a win-1 for Neymar.
Yeah.
It was the most inspirational version of the national anthem before a kickoff that you've ever seen. David Luiz is screaming at the top of his lungs the lyrics of the national anthem. And we're going to go out there, and then it's like, oh, we have Fred up top.
At Maracana?
They had the final at Maracana. I forget where it was. But, it was as bizarre of a... For soccer fans, a where you were sort of moment.
Can I ask you guys a question just to change for a second?
Sure.
You mentioned the national anthem, right?
Mm.
Were you guys watching the start of the Red Zone this week?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was a very Jetsed version of the presentation. It's very like,
so,
like
it was September 11th,
yeah,
and they joined a couple minutes early to go to the Jets game to watch them sing the national anthem at the Jets game.
So you didn't get the countdown?
No, there was the countdown.
Scott Hansen specifically said, "We're coming on a couple minutes early so we can see this."
Okay, so they said so we can see this. Then they announced the person singing the national anthem, and I know I'm going to get shit for this. They announced the person singing the national anthem, and the woman sings, "Oh, say, can you see?" and then stops and does the thing for the crowd to sing.
I like that.
And did you see it?
Yeah,
I didn't see it, but
I
realize
how few people actually know the anthem.
Well, and also, it's really embarrassing on like a day of national remembrance that they pan out to the crowd and you can see the lyrics to the national anthem on the Jumbotron.
Also, did people not?
It didn't. It felt. I mean,
maybe
for
not
me,
ham it
fell
up
flat
on September 11th.
It fell flat.
It felt kind of forced, and like it didn't start out strong, and then eventually like it picked up, but it wasn't like one of those like natural. Everyone's in the moment. Everyone like overtakes the person singing the national anthem. It was like they were trying to create this moment,
hey,
and it felt.
Wouldn't it be cool if we all sang at the same time, as opposed to people just feeling moved?
Yeah, like have you seen? I don't know if you guys, for whatever reason, I've done this on multiple occasions where like I go and I'm just YouTubing like big national anthem performances.
Bang,
dude! Canada kills it at hockey games.
2010
kills it at hockey.
Winter
games.
Olympics. The final was up in Vancouver. Canada, and I can't remember who they beat, but like whoever they beat played their anthem first, and it was like, and then when their anthem came on, the singer couldn't even freaking sing because the entire arena was so nuts. First of all, every single asshole in that building had on the official red Canada
jersey, team
Great
hockey.
Anthem.
Yeah,
like they
were Canada,
like it wasn't like, oh, I had the white alternate
the
one. Oh, I had my best blouse or my best shirt. No, everyone had the jersey.
They
on.
Were there to stand up for their country.
Dude,
that
they
day.
Came in there, and I was watching. You know, it's the Olympics. You're like, you watch stuff that you wouldn't normally watch. I'm gonna watch this Olympic final, and then they just go, oh, Canada, my home and sacred.
Dude, I was looking up the lyrics. I'm like, I want to sing this song. Like, I want to be Canadian right now,
dude,
just to be part of this moment.
Like it's one of those moments. I heard that anthem. I was like, ain't no way USA winning this shit, man.
Single Edmonton Oilers home game.
Wow. Are they like that?
Yeah. Every single Oilers.
Must be a West Coast Canada thing, huh?
Hmm.
Well, they sing that French in Montreal too. Oh, they do that.
See, that you already fractured right there.
It's happened with the national anthem for like America too, but never like planned out. Like, get everybody to sing at the same time.
You can't plan that out. You got to move the people which you got to move them, or they got to be moved because they know the ramifications of the game. If they're lazy assholes, you just got to let them be lazy assholes.
Also, the on ramp can't be by the dawn's early light. Like,
it was really was super early on. I'm telling you, there was like. Four or five words in, and then it was like, it just stopped, and I swear, because I wasn't paying attention at first, I just had it on in the background, and I was like, on 9/11, this person forgot the words to the national anthem? Like, what's going on right now? And then I saw what they were doing, I was like, whoa. Also, like, does she get a rain check? Like, come back and sing the full song in another day?
She get the full quote?
Billy, I'm going to do it. I know you're a little skittish around this, but I'm going to do it. Uh-oh. Mike, give me the sound.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yes,
boy.
Give me the sound for this singer.
No. I care about you.
No, I
care about you. She was a member of the New York Fire Department. I care about you.
I think it was instructed. I don't think it was like, let's go rogue and do this. You think that
I think it was choreographed, Billy.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Then you know what? The Jets. Give it to me. The entire Jets organization. And if it's the NFL, the entire NFL too. All of them. Goodell, everybody.
I don't know,
man. Give it to me. I'm calling for it.
I can't.
Oh, no! The drone! The drone!
I can't.
It was dilating. We saw a head kind of pop out, and then it went back in. Come on. Get the forceps. Bring that thing back out. Right. Come on.
Forceps. I can't.
Come on.
Oh, no, two snares. Two snares.
I need an epidural.
It feels bad.
Give it an epidural.
This feels wrong. This feels wrong.
No.
No, we can't do it.
I'm calling for C-section.
Nope.
I will say it was kind of funny. It's like Scott Hansen goes, "Let's go now to MetLife Stadium for this moving ceremony." And the first thing we see is the New York Jets PA announcer going, "This past weekend, the Queen of England recently." Was the first thing we saw.
Oh my god! Look, that's again, enough.
R.I.P. By the way,
enough. We don't owe it to announce at our sporting events that our former oppressor passed away. We don't owe it to them. Is it sad? It's sad. I'm sad. I'm sorry for your family. Send me your obligatory tweet. That's it. We're not going to take a moment of silence.
It's just we can't be trusted with these moments because the camera's just going to pan to some oversized dude in a Klecko jersey.
That's not like the rest of us. Yes and no.
Klecko jersey with like a styrofoam jet on his head.
You need a good director that's not panning to those people.
Yeah, Feynman
is. By the way, he is a good director when he pans to those people because he's like, look how dumb this shit is. All right, well, you want me to pan to people? How about this fat lard of...
Can I ask you guys, since you brought up the queen, a question? So like, Megan went and was like, yo, like, let's visit the queen, like, on her deathbed. And they're like, nah, Megan, get out of here. You're not able to see the queen. Do you think that was, like, one of the queen's last things? Like, yep. Megan's not allowed to come? Or, like, someone else was like, not going to happen?
Dog, with that family, I don't doubt anything, man.
Yeah.
I thought I read that Charles said, hey, don't come to Harry. Like, hey, she probably shouldn't.
She said, I'm going to come. She should have said that. She should have just yelled it back to him.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll be there.
No, but look, I'm enough. Like, I, even without the issues with Meghan Markle or all that, just in general, like, is there any other head of state that passes away that we're going to be like, oh, everyone be quiet for a second. Someone from some other country died.
I saw on local newscasts yesterday that you can go right now to the British Embassy in Brickell and sign like a book for them to send to Buckingham Palace for the Queen.
I saw that. You could do it electric or sign an actual book.
Electric is
online or in the book.
No, I'm saying like you can do it online or Billy, I know you're right here with me. Who's ever going to read this? If I sign
this
book.
That's what I'm saying. How many cities around the world are doing this at the embassy? They're going to have a library of these books.
No, poor people think that they're like, oh, I'm writing this message. Someone's
going
to get... Nobody is ever reading your message.
No, I want someone to read it aloud in an old English accent at the Bodie McBodie face.
You know what? It is getting read by some guy in sanitation who's getting high. Like, look at this one. You meant so much to me.
I think more people would hear it if you just went in your bathroom and set it into your toilet.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Who would hear it?
I'm just saying, more people.
The troll.
I have another question about this now that we're on the subject. Why does Paddington Bear mean so much to the British people?
Dog, have you seen Paddington 2?
The movie kills.
I know.
It's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Is it really? Why?
Second greatest sequel ever.
Is it still 100?
Fine Sing 2.
I saw that they did like a thing for like her anniversary where she was having tea with Paddington Bear.
Yeah.
And then yesterday I saw a clip where someone was explaining to us that was CGI, that wasn't real, that she was so with it, that she was a great actor.
She's ass off? Is that what they're saying?
That wasn't real. That was CGI, but she was just acting her life. It's like, really? Like, she wasn't talking to a cartoon bear? Like, I've never known. Just great acting by the queen.
It's funny because Paddington, I guess, is their Mickey Mouse. Like, I don't
really?
Know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, yeah. Like, you know, like, because they're so bereft of actual, like, pop culture phenomena since
the Beatles would like a word.
Yeah, exactly. They like a word.
Rolling Stones.
Frauds.
What do you mean?
Beatles are frauds. We've done this before.
Yeah, okay.
We've done this. We're in reruns now, ladies and gentlemen.
They have deeply inspired Chris Whittingham.
You like that Disney Plus?
I understand all the takes about like the Empire and all that. I have been watching some of this stuff. I've been digesting it mainly through social media. And because a king or queen hasn't passed away in my lifetime, I am learning all about the pomp and circumstance, and I'm deeply appreciating it because I've never had an opportunity to see it before. Like, they changed the anthem. That's a big deal. They actually do hip hip hoorays. There are people dressed like the olden times.
They changed the currency.
Guys, don't get too used to it. There's another one coming.
I know, but I didn't know that all of into it.
When it says the entire country's in mourning, is that like nobody's working? Is it like holiday?
Work from home. Everyone's on holiday? Dude, they shut home. Down the country, which paid? Is cool. That's their country.
Paid?
Wait, PTO?
Yeah.
No. You work from home in most circumstances. Yeah.
No.
That's disrespectful to the queen.
Like, I'm talking about retail and stuff like that.
No, like front-facing like, places, but if you can do your job from home, you can do
Look,
that.
Let me tell you right now, Chris. That's their country. They want to do that, that's fine. We ain't going to take no moment of silence here. Why? For what? For who?
I mean, America seems to share your thoughts because we've been pretty cold. I have not seen a reaction. Like, it was pretty quick to getting to mocking the Queen's death on social media.
I thought
it was going to be something where you couldn't the jokes wouldn't start flying for like a week, but like it was like right away.
It was one of them.
America had no shame in just making jokes very quickly.
Well, it wasn't just America.
Ireland.
People have a lot of strong opinions about imperialism.
Oh, we're assholes, Americans.
All the colonies got together and we said, you know what? Let's ride. Just grab the metaphorical baseball bat.
Actual country. Let's ride.
It was our Canadian national anthem.
I think that this take has been out there and people have gotten dragged by it too, but I found like the whole reaction to it curious. Like, you don't need to be like snarky about this.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's just like it's something that's happening. It's a moment in history. Right. Like, I understand how people feel about things that happened a long time ago.
It means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, no, be respectful for a minute.
The tradition means a lot to that country, and I just didn't want to, pile on with the jokes.
Let them do their thing.
I did circulate them in group chats, but that's a private decision on my behalf. I didn't endorse them in a public forum.
I want to take the conversation back to national anthems. And Billy mentioned going on YouTube and watching national, because I do the same thing, Billy. I'm a sucker for game ops. I like a good game ops. So if I give you guys are the president of whatever fictional or real franchise, right? And we've got a big game. You know, teams do this. For the big game, we bring in the big guns.
Got to
sing
do
the
it.
National anthem.
Yep.
Who are you guys bringing in?
Julia Dale.
Yeah.
Are we doing like specific to here or like this is a big game like nationally?
You pick the team. Mm-hmm. That you are the president of. You are going to be the David Samson of whatever franchise you want.
In this country.
Like to be a good
this
country. President.
Okay, because if this is international, I would go to Italy and I'd have Giorgio Chiellini sing the national anthem. The Italians crush the national anthem.
I feel like New York always rolls out the opera singer, right?
Yeah, it's definitely an opera based national.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
I agree.
Huh. By the way, the Chicago Blackhawks guy, which Roy has chronicled before.
Jim Corneliuson.
Yeah. It's the best version of the national anthem for me.
In Phoenix, we have there's this trumpet player, Dr. Jesse McGuire, and like that was our Jerry Colangelo. I don't know how he found the guy, he's won awards and stuff. He's really good at it. But every time that dude did the national anthem, you knew, oh, we're gonna kick ass today. Like he had a Donaghy level like win loss record.
When's the last time you participated in a stirring national anthem?
Participated?
For me, it's been a while. It's been a long
Probably
time.
Probably Fergie.
It's been a while.
Canada.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Oh.
Hey, Canada, USA gold medal game 2010.
They say.
Nothing wrong with Fergie.
Well.
Everything was wrong with Fergie.
B.E.P.
I was, what?
No. Oh, Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah. Oh. Thank you. Yeah, get with it, mean.
Stop being a gas station. So 2000 and late.
No,
that's. By the way, I have to say something. National anthems.
Say
all that.
It.
Okay.
Say it. Say
oh, Canada chest. Sucks.
Oh. Okay, you,
no, I'm just saying. Oh, as a song.
Hold on a second.
God bless Canada.
What?
No. God bless. I love
I like
Canada.
Whoa.
I love Canada.
That's a great anthem.
I don't like the. It's a bad song.
How would you rewrite it? Let's go through the lyrics and rewrite
and
the
secondly,
Canadian national anthem.
Yeah, and secondly, Canada, win a Stanley Cup for the first time in 30 years.
Oh.
They should. In the meantime, they should call it Oh No, Canada, because it's just not a good song. It isn't. It's,
no, Canada.
It's even slower than the American anthem. I just find it ponderous.
Really?
It is lilting.
Very ponderous.
I think I know what's going on here.
What's
You're
that?
Like covering hockey games. You're like
Canada.
You're tapping.
How about Canada?
How about Canada and us make a deal? You don't have to play our anthem at road games. We don't have to play yours when you travel over here. I don't have so much time.
I'm all for that.
I like their anthem. Two anthems.
It's like, come on.
Yeah. Well, Greg, what anthems do you like then?
I like the top three anthems. The Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, and then what else?
I mean, I'm not familiar with.
Oh, come on, the French one. Ooh.
Is that their anthem for real? Yeah, that's their anthem. Really?
Yeah, La Marseillaise. Yeah.
And then, like when it gets into the second part, I wish we could play.
No, it's an incredible anthem. One time I was in front of the Eiffel Tower during Bastille Day, and they played it. It was just goosebumps. Spectacular.
Oh, yeah, just an excellent singer.
If that doesn't win a Suey, I don't know what will.
Oh, Jesus.
Actually, the Greg Cody Show podcast is working on its own anthem.
Really?
The first podcast to have a national anthem.
Wow.
I don't think that's...
Yeah. Greg, if you started your own country, what would it called?
Yeah.
Codia.
Greg Cody. Codia.
Yeah, C-O-T-I-A. Yeah. The Isle of Codia. I want it to be a large island.
Did you see how quick he was with his answer? He's thought about this.
And by the way, it's going to be a monarchy, much like Great Britain.
Oh, really? You're going to be a king?
Big royal family. I am a big royal family. I really am.
So Chris is a prince.
Wow.
Yeah, prince he is Chris? For now, yeah.
So Chris would take over.
If I pass away.
Well,
I haven't made that decision yet.
What a person from Codia would be what? What's their...
Codian.
Codian? Not Cotian?
Well, I like Cotian a little bit. That's a little more highfalutin. I'll give you that.
What kind of controversy would it be if the king's son was walking around in costume on a cruise that he had broken into costume closet?
Well, I think that's actually happened.
Every family's got a Prince Andrew. Let's just put it like that. Yeah. Okay.
Jesus.
Yeah. Harry's costume was a lot worse. I would say. Just run a quick Google.
It actually was. Yeah.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.